if you're talking to somebody and you look at their marriage and they are telling you marriage is really hard, marriage is horrible, blah, 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 maybe don't listen to their advice.
Discount their advice.
You can't say too much. It's like guys who are like, oh, tell her I love her all the time and she wants me to do it more. You're never doing it enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell her you love her all the time,
I need to be told that you, when you're in my presence, you need to tell me that you love me at least 3 times in like in a
sitting. I blow that out of the water.
Yeah.
You've never had to tell me that once.
If it's been an hour that you've been in my presence and you haven't told me that you love me, it's like, when is he going to give me the divorce
paperwork? It's happening. And, what's her name?
But I didn't.
And if you get
thing.
Criticism as a wife, don't take it personally. Well, obviously, take it personally.
I'll take it personally. You. Always do.
I'm talking about you. obviously, if, I mean, it's personally because it's about you and you might have to repent of something, change something. It's you. But don't take it as an attack. All right, welcome back to another episode of Not For Profits, where we're preaching Jesus to the World Wide Web of Crazy. Thank you for sending in reels. Thank you for letting us know how you've been being blessed by these episodes. Hit like and subscribe and share this with friends who are unbelievers or believers who need some encouragement. We know that God uses this content as to bless his people and to find the lost sheep and bring them in and build up his church. So we are joined today. I am joined today, rejoined today, with the one and the only Joy Ford. Joy, it's so good to have you back. The whole studio is in rapturous applause and anticipation of
all of the
you
two
coming back today.
All of the two of them.
Yeah,
glad I'm to glad to be here.
So
I'm happy I was able to make some time in my very busy day.
Very busy schedule.
To be here.
Thank you. Send us the invoice. payment will be forthcoming. You're usually schooling the kids.
Yes.
Running, feeding the chooks.
Exercising, going on walks, you know, self-care. Mm. Thursday is my self-care day, so today I'm here.
Okay. And you've been, well, we had a holiday as a family last week.
Yes.
So your cortisol's down and you can deal with stressful topics again.
Yes.
Although I only gave you one reel to do. Everyone can go and watch that.
Yes.
Joy, you're back. We want to talk about a couple of stuff that we always get questions about.
Mm-hmm.
Often around marriage and a host of other issues,
mm-hmm.
but marriage is a really important one because it pushes all of your issues that you have to the top of your priority list. It pushes all of your issues to the fore and brings it into conflict with your spouse. Mm-hmm. So people have a lot of questions around marriage, especially early in marriage. So let's yap about marriage today, Joy.
Yeah, so we did a couple of episodes ago. We did how to choose a spouse.
True, we did. Yeah, red flags and things to look for in a spouse.
Yep. So I guess now that they're all married, per my instructions, or found a lady. Mm. Now here's an advice.
Studio excluded.
Now here's some advice on how to maintain that marriage.
Keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the divorce rate is like 50% or something.
Something like that. It's ridiculously high. Rates, people always say, oh, the divorce rates are equal in and out of the church. That's not true.
No, it's not true.
Church-going evangelical Christians do not divorce at the same rate as ordinary people, but it's just so common, so frequent. So it's not a – it's always a big deal, but it's not for, thought of in a very biblical way for a lot of people. I think the most dangerous thing people have around divorce – is that they assume that because we met each other, God blessed it, we love each other, because we had a meaningful marriage, an intentional pre-marriage process, and because we want to be married forever, divorce is not one of those things we have to worry. It'll never happen to us.
Mm.
You know, we don't want to do it. Do you want to get divorced? I don't want to get divorced. We're not going to get divorced.
No comment.
Thinking as if, blink twice if you are in danger. Didn't they tell you to wear a red shirt?
Yeah.
If you were here against your will. I read the comment. Tell them you feel safe and fine.
I feel safe.
And the, so.
No, I don't want to get divorced.
Not you, the hypothetical person.
Oh,
you
know, I thought you were asking me.
She doesn't, I don't, we're not going to get divorced, obviously. But no, that, you should assume that divorce is always around the corner, not in your relationship, but around the corner as an enemy. Kind of like God spoke to Cain. It is crouching at the door. Its desire is to destroy your marriage because the devil hates marriage. Mm. So you have to actively fight against it in all sorts of ways. The difficulty of marriage is often not taken into account by people before they get married. They go in with all doe-eyed and...
Yeah, they think that if it was smooth sailing before they get married, then it'll be smooth sailing after. Yeah. And especially because with Christians, they're not living with their spouse before they get married.
Mustn't be.
Don't do that. But because they're not living with them, they just think, oh, it'll be fine and we'll just... He'll have the same routines I have. You know, he'll have the same cleanliness as I have. You know, we'll all just get along because it was smooth sailing before. And it might not be.
Well, there's a lot of hurdles to get through. What do you think of the often quoted phrase people say, the idea. People say marriage is hard.
I don't really like that phrase.
Me neither.
I haven't found marriage to be hard. Like, I found it to be very enjoyable and liberating.
I think people feel like they're going to do young people a service, newlyweds a service, by saying, hey, don't come in expecting too much joy.
Yeah.
Marriage is actually...
It's mainly just grind.
Crazy hard. You fight a lot more than you think. You know, you sleep in different rooms two nights of every fortnight, you know.
Yeah, look, if you don't want to have the same kind of marriage as that person, don't listen to their advice.
That's great. No, repeat that. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean is that if you're talking to somebody and you look at their marriage... And they are telling you marriage is really hard, marriage is horrible, blah, 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 blah. Maybe don't listen to their advice.
Discount their advice.
Yeah.
If they're saying marriage is really hard, you should say or you should think, no, I've heard people say marriage is not hard.
Yeah.
Your marriage is really hard, so I won't be listening to you on the topic of marriage. It doesn't sound like you have a particularly advice-giving worthy marriage.
Yeah.
An exemplary marriage.
But that's an extension of the saying, don't take advice of people you don't want to be like.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite, you know, sayings because it's so true. Like, I don't want to hear your advice on parenting if I look at your children and I don't want my children to be like yours. Mm. So, and I think that goes for marriage as well.
A lot of people believe a silly anecdote, which is if you screw something up really bad, you can give good advice to people. You know, I went through two bad divorces. Let me tell you how to keep a marriage together. No, actually, not true.
Yeah.
Because it's true that we learn so much from our failures.
Mm.
It doesn't mean, though, that having a hard, difficult, bad marriage makes you able to give good advice.
Or even more wise. Like,
no, or more wise.
That's
who
like
knows
somebody,
whether you've learned your lessons or not.
Yeah. That's like somebody with several terrible failing businesses giving you advice on how to start a business. Mm. Like, yeah, you're not the guy. You are not the guy.
Yeah, dealt with some of those over the...
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
So does that mean though that, oh, okay. So having a good marriage is easy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I think the idea of a marriage being hard is like a blanket statement over the whole institution. But it is something that you need to work at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, hard doesn't necessarily mean, when you say marriage is hard, I don't think that what people get from that is that it takes a lot of hard work and discipline.
No,
what they
right.
take from it is it's terrible, you know, you should really think about, you know.
Because they're talking about the institution. They're saying the marriage, the whole thing, marriage, it's a hard thing.
Yeah.
Slamming two sinners together.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a bad design, but it's the best we got, so deal with it. And no, it's not hard. It's not by nature. It is not necessary that your marriage is difficult and hard to bear with.
Yes.
But it is essential and necessary that if you want a good marriage, you have to work hard.
Yeah.
And by hard work, we mean intentional, selfless, and sacrificing.
Yeah.
Intentional, you cannot put it on the back burner. You cannot be passive in marriage, especially men. I have to tell men all the time. You cannot just sit. It's like a garden. That's where the language of husband comes from. Husbandry men was the old language of... Or a husband is someone who engages in husbandry, which is gardening.
Mm.
Your wife and your marriage is like a garden. You cannot just sit back and come back a month later and go, oh, there's weeds. What the heck? I didn't plant weeds. No. All you have to do to a garden to make it go chaotic is nothing.
Yeah.
All you have to do to a marriage to let her grow bitter at you, your souls grow apart, your intentions grow apart, romances and interests in people go towards others. All you have to do for that is nothing. Mm. Is just let it do its own thing and sin will fill in all the gaps.
Yeah.
You have to be really intentional to build this team, to build this unification, to build our intentions, to build our desires, to build our affections.
Mm.
So you have to be really, really intentional and you have to be selfless. Do you want to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, yeah. I think
so I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you talk about this one.
I'll give yourself some more credit, Tom. Yeah, I think a lot of benefit is gained in marriage when you are both self-sacrificing. Of course there's limits to that. Because
what sort of limits?
Well, I just mean that there's some degree to which your partner can't look after you the way that you can. For example, you can't exercise for me to make sure that I'm fit, right? You can't lose weight for me. You can't
pray for you. Well, I can pray for you, but I can't do praying instead of you.
Yes, that's right. You can't read your Bible for me. Mm. You can't, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things you can't do for me. And so.
So don't let self-sacrificing turn into abdicating your responsibility out of.
Yes.
You leave.
Yes.
Or, you take
or not looking after yourself, of course, because you can't. Of course, there are situations where you can give when you don't have a lot to give. But if you are intentionally, because I see this a lot in marriages where particularly women, because they are more, they tend to be a lot more sacrificial. That's just the nature of women, you know, with childbirth.
They care more about how people are
nurturing.
Going.
Yeah, that's right. And so what they'll do, and I see it so often, is they give and they give and they give, and then they're resentful to their husbands because their husbands just, you know, look after themselves and the wives, they don't do it. And so they're resentful to their husbands because they say, oh, you know, I sacrifice all of this and they, you know, they don't do the same amount.
Mm.
But
I think that guys often, if they're going to trend in generalities, because you get guys who are losers who don't work hard at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Gals who don't sacrifice and they're hard-headed.
Yeah.
You know, but generally in the genders, and I'm talking like experience as a Christian pastor, so Christian male and female husband and wives, it is often that husbands will sacrifice by working hard for wife and family, and wives sacrifice by sacrificing themselves.
Yeah.
More of their, I could say he works hard, she sacrifices hard.
Yeah.
And in both of their minds, I'm putting out a lot, I'm putting in a lot for other people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, often this is where feminism gets into people's minds and twists them against their husbands is go, now for all his hard work for the family, look at what he has to show for it. An amazing career. A good body, whatever, you know, he's paid for these things. Yeah. What do I have to show for it? Well, I'm less attractive than I used to be, more tired than I used to be. I don't have time for myself. My career's gone. And what I have to show for it, four kids or whatever, that just demand more of me.
Mm.
And so with that unbiblical, selfish thinking, you've turned your sacrifice into an into a debt that other people have to pay.
Yeah, that's
right. So you're
right.
Saying be really sacrificial, but don't allow it to become –
don't allow it to breed resentment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to, you know, don't get yourself into the mindset where you're feeling sorry for yourself about the sacrifices that you make. Of course, be sacrificial, but also look after yourself.
And that's where the conversation comes between husband and wife.
Yeah. Well, it links back to that. Look after yourself because he's not going to do it for you. Like he can't do that for you.
Yeah.
So don't sacrifice the things that he can't even fix for you anyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you said, I mean, I knew what you meant, but you said don't go too far with self-sacrifice.
Mm.
And I often tell pre-married people that I often pose the question, what's the limit? What limit do you think there is to self-sacrifice?
Mm.
And of course, there's none.
Yeah.
The answer is there's no limit.
Yeah.
You self-sacrifice entirely and wholly. That is what your marriage vows entail. That is what it means. That is what Christ-likeness means because he held absolutely nothing back to the point of incarnation, obedience, shame, death, even crucifixion. Mm. He went the entire way.
Yeah.
But so the problem is never too much self-sacrificing. The problem is rather than being sacrificial for the higher purpose or aim of what God tells us to, it's becoming a doormat.
Yeah.
Right? And husbands do that. Oh, I sacrifice by never standing up for myself.
Like, yeah.
Cool. You're leading your wife to be bombastic and hard-headed. Or yeah. she will sacrifice by, I never bring up when I'm tired or when I need help.
Yeah.
So you're a bad communicator and a yeah. terrible teammate.
And you're leaving room for resentment in your marriage.
That's right.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's not that there's a limit to our self-sacrifice, but there are important guidelines within and along the process of sacrificing that you need to be careful of.
Yeah.
And each looking out for each other. And if I'm called entirely to sacrifice for you and you're called entirely to sacrifice for me, that is not undefined. Scripture shows us what sacrifice looks like. But then I have to, a part of my self-sacrifice is thinking of your needs above mine.
Yeah.
And so you can afford to look less to your own interests.
Yes, that's
Philippians
right.
Philippians 2, because I'm looking for your interests.
Yeah.
And I can afford to look less to mine because you're going to look back to mine. Okay, so I said intentional, we have to be self-sacrificing, and selfless. They kind of sound like the same thing, but what I mean by selfless is that you are no longer independent.
Mm.
You absolutely, I mean, the modern movement, feminist movement, egalitarian movement is hugely wrong on this very explicitly, but everyone has this little feminist in their heart. All guys have this the same thing in the heart. It's just human nature is to say, is to fail to think of marriage as an entire self-giving of each other, of yourself to them.
Yeah.
And so the wedding vows that I oversee, we had just one awesome wedding last week that you and I got to be at from people in this congregation. And in their vows, they say, today I give up my independence to be joined wholly to you, wholly and solely to you.
Mm.
And that is such an important idea that is biblical. From Genesis 2, Jesus reiterates it in Matthew and Mark. Paul reiterates it in Ephesians 5, that we are head and body now. Those two things, as head and body, husband and wife, they make no sense. They have no life or existence independent of each other. Mm. We might be distinct, right? You have your own prayer life, your own faith in Christ, your own character, your own virtues.
Yeah.
And you are wife, I am husband, that brings different obligations, and I have my own distinct parts, but we are not separated.
Mm.
We are separated, that is a divorce and a destruction, or at least a divorce waiting to happen. You separate head and body, it's now dead, neither are living.
Yeah.
And so we are entirely one. So the arguments for I need to look after myself, or I need to do this more, or I need more time for this, or I need to get back to work, or I need to give more time to work, or I need more times with the kids, or I need you to do this around the home, or we're allocating jobs, roles, I'm allocating funds and finances in our budget. All of the motivation for those things and decisions can never be because I need to look after my own independence.
Mm.
It must always be.
I need to maintain my own independence.
That's right.
I need to keep separate.
It must always
be. I can't rely on them.
This is how our one fleshness, which Jesus, Paul, Moses, God speak about, we are now one flesh. And so everything I do needs to be motivated by how am I strengthening us in this one flesh, not just myself.
Yeah.
Never just myself. And so you hear silly languages. It's often women who put it this way, but I know men think the same thing. They just don't blog about it as much.
Mm.
And it's, you know, before I was married or had kids, I knew who I was. And now I feel like I don't know who I am anymore. Mm. Other than being a mother and a wife, what is there to me?
Yeah.
Or a husband going like, you know, I used to do more of this and have my hobbies. And now I'm working for the family. I'm dad on the weekends. I'm babysitter in the mornings. You know, what am I?
Mm.
Like, that's coming they might have genuine issues they need to work on in their marriage, but that is coming from a really selfish heart by saying I need to, at the root of all that, what they were saying is I need to put me first again and that'll solve things.
Mm.
It never does.
Yeah.
Never does.
Yeah. One thing that I tell people is that, I said it in one of the past podcasts, is that when you get married, it's like growing up. It's like when you go through puberty. It like when you get a job, you're moving through life and you're making progress in life. And it's one of those big things that changes you, getting married.
Mm.
it really fundamentally changes who you are. Just like having kids does the same thing. Mm. It changes who you are. Massive. You're not meant to be a teenager forever. Yeah. You're not meant to be a young adult with no responsibilities forever. You're meant to progress through so that when you get to that life stage at the end, when your children are adults and they've got their own, you can give that advice then and you've made this progress. You're not meant to be this stagnant creature who is always the same and always does the same things. You're meant to grow. You're meant to mature. Mm. And, marriage, doing marriage well helps you to grow into that and children the same. So when people resist children and they resist the change of marriage, of course they're upset. Of course they're having a hard time because they just want to be a child and they didn't expect to get more responsibilities. They want to stay the same. But you need to be willing to give yourself in. This is the whole point of marriage and children, is that you completely are giving yourself in to these things. They're not meant to be one foot in kind of commitments, especially children. Yeah. But they're
not kids that you start out with and then you get back to back to your clean slate or back to zero or back to the way you were before you had kids. Mm. You'll never not be a parent anymore. You'll never be who you were before. You're fundamentally changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before people get into marriage, I make sure they know I will never tolerate from you as your pastor. I'll never sympathize with, who am I now? I'm all of my time is wrapped up in her and him and this and the marriage and the family. That isn't good. I'm so glad you're learning that lesson.
Yeah.
God's drawing you deeper into the depths of what it means to be married, unified, one with somebody else. It's such a cosmic and, as Paul says, a mystical idea that they became, he talks about Adam and Eve, they became one flesh. This is a deep mystery, but it also refers to Christ and the church, that he entirely gives himself to us. And that's the big part of marriage. It's meant to be like that. That's what happens between Jesus and us. He doesn't have a single part of him he's kept away from us. There's no portion of him that he keeps for his Saturdays and hobbies. All of his blessings are ours. We are entirely his responsibility. And there's that's the beauty of marriage. So if people can fix that mindset in their heads, I think that'll help. It'll help them largely.
Something I was talking with my friend about today, went on a walk with my friend, but also get philosophical. But we were talking about how when we were nurses, well, I was a nurse, she's a nurse. We'd see patients dying alone, old people without people with them, and or we'd talk about people who are coming from nursing homes, they have no one. And I was kind of like asking, why do you think that is, that we have old, like we have people who, in our society, we put people in nursing homes so much more than say like in Asia, India, that kind of thing. And one of the things that I think causes this is with the denigration of the nuclear family, right? This idea of independent, everybody needs to be liberated. Children need to be liberated from their parents as soon as possible. Move out, get your own place. And the same thing, women need to be independent just in case things go wrong from their husband. Husbands need to, they need to not devote themselves, but they need to look after themselves because they work so hard. This whole idea of breaking apart the nuclear family, and that's one of the aspects of it, is in the West particularly, we are so independence focused. Like we're so obsessed with being independent and looking after ourselves that so many people just can't really fully give themselves into marriage. And you see it all the time on like those Dave Ramsey podcasts where people, they'll be like, we've been married for 20 years, and we have split finances. I put 50% in for mortgage. He puts 50% in for the mortgage. He said, because I wanted to have the baby, I have to pay for the pram, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's all the time, and so people just really refuse, even financially, to give in to really give themselves to marriage. And they want to really keep their independence.
Zach, we should do some of those Dave Ramsey style call-ins, call-in for advice. I don't know what to tell.
But yeah, I think our society is so focused, hyper-focused on independence, and that comes from
something called atomized. It's like we're all broken down to atoms rather than molecules.
Yeah.
And these bonds we're all a serial number.
Yeah.
We're just a bit of information in the whole big computer. And what really matters is the collective, or what really matters is the state. And so there's a breakdown of the natural family.
Yeah. And there's a big movement at the moment now about community, like being a part of the community. If you want to have a community, you need to be in the community. And this idea that, you know, we were never meant to raise children in isolation. Parents weren't meant to raise children in isolation. They're always supposed to be with their extended family. And I think the more you try and focus on this independence, the more you get these real breakdowns of family and society. People feel so much more isolated, of course, because we were so focused on being independent. And community, especially church community, family, giving yourself in and not being just an individual, you know, in a world, but being a part of, you know, a family, a community, that's so important.
Yeah, it has.
That's what God's given us.
You gave it up. That's what I tell people in marriage vows and in marriage counseling. I said, you voluntarily gave up your independence in order to become one flesh with this person. So, you know what? As Paul says, the logic in Ephesians 5, he says, you know what? Men, if you love your wife, you love yourself. Like, honestly, do yourself a favor and love her better. Because if you love her better, guess what? You have a better wife. Mm. Guess what a better wife means? At least better sex, better communication, better atmosphere at home, better dinners. But like, what's something your wife gives you? It's better if you love her better. Like, life is better. Do yourself a favor. And it sounds selfish, but fine. The best way to be selfish is to be selfless.
Yeah.
And the more you self-give, and there's lots of ways, like you said, that can be turnover. Husbands becoming doormats out of the so-called, I'm being a sacrificial, loving husband. No, you're not. Because, so the difference, I guess, between self-sacrificing and being selfless, the difference between that and just giving them whatever they want or say they need, first of all, the instructive difference is that the Bible tells us what we shouldn't be doing. So the Bible corrects us and shines light and actually defines what our roles are and obligations towards each other are. But also the difference that we see in Scripture is when I have to be selfless, it doesn't just mean, hey, wife, what do you want me to do? To be selfless and sacrificial means I say, I've learned from the Word of God what I need to provide as a husband, like what a husband is and what I need to be and become in order to provide my wife with the best husband I possibly can, so that I in turn get the best wife I possibly can, so that we have the best marriage we possibly can to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so what are those things? I need to provide. So that means when she says, I wish you were home 3 days a week. Okay, I'll get a part-time job. I'm trying to be a sacrificial leader. No, you know, you need to provide her with some correction, but also provide her with a provider. You need to provide her with a responsible man. You need to provide her with a fit husband for all kinds of different reasons.
Yeah.
So you working on yourself should not be the difference or polar opposite of being selfless. Yes, be selfless, but also on the other end, be selfish and look after yourself. No, it all has to come under the self-giving. So when giving myself to my wife, what do I need to be? I need to be well-prayed. That's not a me thing. That's an us thing.
Yeah.
I need to be having a solid relationship with God. I need to be pure in my thoughts. I need to be a hard worker. I need to have my own, you know, all those, me working on me is not me working on me.
Yeah.
It's me working on your husband.
Yeah.
I can help you the best by helping your husband, and that happens to be me.
Yeah.
And same way, the way that you love as a wife is, and selflessly sacrifice as a wife is give to him what the Bible says, not what he says, but the Bible says a godly wife is to be. And so that could be nuanced out and applied in a million different ways, I guess. And
well, yeah, one thing is like you want a peaceful wife. You need a peaceful wife. So I'll make sure that I set the alarm and I'm in bed on time so I get a good night's sleep so that I'm a peaceful person and not a grumpy person, you know, stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah. It extends to all areas.
So husbands and wives, men and women are somewhat different.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for that.
Receive
and give love pretty differently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some practical tips on ways that a wife can love her husband to build affection, help build affection with husband?
One of the best pieces of advice that I was given is to say thank you more often. We assume that you know that we're thankful for everything you do. But, you know, when it was brought to my attention, I thought it is nice to get to be told thank you for everything you do. And
we'll multiply that by 1,000 for a dude.
Yeah.
The dude loves being, for better or worse, loves to be praised.
Yeah.
He loves to hear good on you.
Yeah.
Good job. When it comes from a pretty-eyed wife who he loves more than anything, for her to say, thank you.
Yeah.
You're amazing. I love you. You're so good.
For everything. And for everything. I've noticed.
You can't say too much. It's like guys who are like, oh, I tell her I love her all the time and she wants me to do it more. You're never doing it enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you love her all the time,
I need
day.
To be told that you, when you're in my presence, you need to tell me that you love me at least three times in like in
I
a
blow
sitting.
That out of the water.
Yeah.
You've never had to tell me that once.
If it's been an hour that you've been in my presence and you haven't told me that you love me, it's like, when
divorce
is he going to give me
the
divorce
paperwork? It's happening. And, what's her name?
But I didn't realize that because I don't really need to be told thank you. I just assume that you're thankful, but it matters so much more to men, which I wasn't. I've really noticed the change in, not the change, but the improvement or the increase of your, of the things you do for me since I've been more thankful. You know, you're much more like, he doesn't know. He's just like, what?
You've programmed me somehow.
It's Maslow. Yeah, yeah. I say thank you and
your
he's got a bunch of flowers every time he comes home.
Personal.
But I've been, I put that into play because of course I'm thankful, but I just have to take that extra step of expressing it.
Yeah, that's good. So say thank you, express not just acknowledgement, but express appreciation for them personally, eye to eye, in presence. Yeah. Hold him on his neck and say it. Look him dead in his eyes and say it with a little smile. Right. Good. One thing guys can do is, this is a bit different. Well, I'll piggyback on that and say I love you more than you already do. No matter how much you say it more.
Mm-hmm.
And mean it. Say it meaningfully. Another thing I would say is what women love is they love stability. Even crazy girls, they might think, I'm spontaneous, whatever. When real life hits you, you need regular bills paid. You need regular income. You need stability of schedule. You know when he's coming home, things like that.
But stability also gives you a buffer in life. Like you can deal with a lot more stuff if everything else is stable around you.
Yes. Yeah. If nothing is stable, you have zero buffer.
Yeah.
And you are clamoring for control. Well, if not much is
if everything's out of
stable,
control.
I have to keep everything stable, being the rubber band around everything.
Yeah.
I'm a micromanager. It's terrible. So one of the things guys can do is provide stability, and that comes with really clear communication. So, I call it household meetings or marriage meetings or whatever. Every month, I tell guys all the time, every month, sit down with a calendar, go and talk through the last month. How'd we go? Was that okay? How's our budget? How's our things?
How's our spending time together? Am I home enough?
Yep.
Are you doing everything you need to do?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are we meeting all these? Yep. And then looking forward in the month and going, here's the events we have. Here's when we can spend time together. Is there anything we need to cancel?
This is
going
to be a really big week.
And the kids are doing that and this project. Okay. What are ways that we can plan around that?
Yep.
So, and that's initiative. That's difficult. You're taking the load for it in that, and you're leading and actually coursing some direction forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll love that. She'll dig that. And if you love your wife that way, she will love you even more. And I would say just say gifts. Gifts for no reason. Well, the gifts because you love her. There's that five love languages thing.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I think all of them are helpful to have in your marriage. Like
I saw some. I can't remember.
Hug
who it was.
Me and give me gifts and tell me that I'm pretty. Like I want all of it.
And they said some guy, I think it was in a podcast, I can't remember, or it was a comedian. He's like, isn't it funny? We all have all these deep psychological five love languages. 99% of guys are touch and words. 99% of women are time and gifts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is just like norm. We've known this for thousands of years. That's just how it works. Throw out the book. I don't think you need the five love languages book if you got it. Oh, all power to you if you find it helpful. I'm good.
Yeah.
But touch him more. Let him touch you more. Appreciate him with words more. Affirm him with words.
Yeah.
For gals, husbands should buy him gifts for no reason.
Yeah.
And
it's not that expensive. Like you don't need to buy a $500, you know, bouquet of flowers. You can literally just buy a chocolate from their favorite chocolate from the store. You're at the store anyway. You're getting fuel from the fuel station. Just buy the chocky. It'll make her happy.
She has expensive taste. You married her, dude. You should have looked into that.
You're gonna get a better job.
If you set your bar high in engagement period, then
yeah. If you can't maintain her, you blame don't lock her in.
Yeah. So look, there's hundreds of more things we could say. You're going to be on again at some point. Maybe we can do some call-ins. We're not doing call-ins for marriage problems. No way. For questions.
Can you imagine?
Oh my goodness. No way.
I just give one more piece of advice?
Yes,
really, really quickly.
Please do.
One of my favorite pieces of advice that I think really helps in a marriage is to give your spouse the benefit of the doubt, is to really believe that they are trying their best. You know, if you come into every situation thinking he did this on purpose, he intentionally blah, 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 he knew blah, 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 blah. If you instead say you walk in to the kitchen and the dishes haven't been done and you cooked dinner last night and he knows that you expect it and it hasn't been done. What I do is when I see dirty dishes in the morning or the bins haven't been taken out, I genuinely think to myself, ah, he must have been busy. He must have just needed rest. He must have been tired. He's probably going to get to it later. Maybe he doesn't.
But decision other than how can I ruin my wife's day, night, morning.
Yeah, because 99% of the time, that's not what they're trying to do. Yeah. They're just human beings.
Spin of the advice, don't take everything personally.
Yeah.
It's not all about you.
And give them the benefit of the doubt that you hope that they give to you. Mm. Like if you're tired and you just don't have the energy to cook dinner and so you heat up something, you don't want your husband coming home and being like, obviously she's lazy. You know, obviously she hates and she's having an affair. You don't want that, right? So, you know, in the same way, you give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that makes for a much more peaceful marriage.
And if you're having regular communications, intentional sit downs, as well as good communication, then you have an opportunity where you can say, hey, here's the areas of the household that you take responsibility for, or here's the bills you said you'd pay, or these things haven't been being done, or I'm constantly catching up on these, I feel like. So if you have those intentional communication times, you can bring it up instead of waiting until it gets so annoying that you blow up about it.
Yeah.
Or waiting until it gets so hard that you have to initiate an awkward conversation out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Which can feel like an attack.
And open communication lines just make it so much easier.
100%.
You know, it never becomes a big thing.
And if you get criticism as a wife, don't take it personally. Well, obviously, take it personally.
I'll take it personally. You. Always do.
I'm talking about you. obviously, it's personally because it's about you and you might have to repent of something, change something. It's you. But don't take it as an attack.
Mm.
They're talking, you know. And husbands as well. When she says something, don't take it personally. Oh, you know, I work so hard and I've done this. You know, the woman I could have had other than you. Do you know how many women would love to be married to me? Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Both men and women, get over yourself.
You're a human being. You need to fix things.
In the most positive way you can. And go, they need me to hear this. I'm going to take this on and respond in the best way possible. Mm. The only other alternative is chaos and war.
Mm.
No one wants to live in a war zone.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to close this out?
Thanks for watching.
See you next time. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Joy.
Brick Hanlon.
Sure.
What's the guy's name? What's Steve Farrell's name on? Oh, man. I'm old. These dudes haven't even
seen idea. Anything.
Nor should they, because it's an ungodly pile of debauchery, that movie. That whole franchise. We'll just chop that
part out.
Smells
like, what is it?
Joy.
Yes.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. Please like and subscribe. That helps us out. And share this to people you think will benefit. And leave a comment. That also helps us as well. Mm. Keep sending us reels and suggestions. We take them on. We think about it. All right.
I could talk about marriage for hours. So maybe we'll do another one.
All right. See ya. Love you. Bye. Peace out.